Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. And today I am joined by my pal, Javi, host of Locked On Padres, to talk about LeBron becoming a part owner of the Boston Red Sox and break down our fantasy baseball draft that we have on Sunday night. It's a Locked On MLB. Is it only MLB? It's only our hosts?
Oh, and Sean. And Sean.
Well, he's our coordinator, so he counts. Yeah. It's only Locked On MLB hosts and our wonderful channel coordinator, Sean Woodley, who hosts Locked On Toronto Raptors over in the NBA section of the network. So it's all in the family. We had so much fun and we're going to talk about all of it for you. So Javi, should we just get right into the LeBron of it all?
Yeah, the LeBron of it all.
So the LeBron of it all is that the Red Sox are owned by Fenway Sports Group. Basically, when the Red Sox, I'll recap for anyone who doesn't know, you might not know because you are low-key a Yankees fan. So Fenway Sports Group was a
what? No. Don't you dare. We're not starting off like this. I know what you're saying. Everybody, she's just trying to drum up the people who give me crap for that. How dare you start off the podcast this way?
No, I mean you're obviously a Padres fan and you cover the Padres, but you grew up as a Yankees fan. So the Red Sox, it's funny because tomorrow I have for Division Day, it's me and Stacy of Locked On Yankees, we're doing our rivalry crossover, and it ended up being two episodes because it was really long. But we are actually talking about how when the Red Sox were purchased in 2001, I guess, at the time, it was the most expensive purchase of a team by at least twice its preceding record setter. The Red Sox were purchased for about $700 million. And at the time, no team had sold for more than like $300 million, I believe. So since then, it has grown to be the Fenway Sports Group, and they also own Liverpool Football Club over in the UK. They have a ton of other ventures, but they approved a $750 million private investment that will make Redbird Capital Partners their third largest partner. But in addition to that investment, they also sold a portion of FSG shares to LeBron James. He actually already apparently was an owner, a part owner of Liverpool. He's held a 2% share of Liverpool since 2011. I had no idea, but he just became an official partner in FSG. And so now he's a partner owner of the Red Sox, the New England Sports Network, and a bunch of other things that they're doing. So this is like kind of crazy, pretty random in my opinion. Like, did you see this coming? How could anyone see this coming?
Doesn't it almost feel like LeBron just threw media people a bone? They were like, not much is happening. Maybe let me just give them this random story to kind of like at least get some content for the rest of the day or two. You know, I don't know how much it actually is going to matter, but it is funny considering, I mean, you very smartly, everybody who doesn't know, Gabrielle kicks ass with our social media stuff and hers, her in general, too. It's a little disturbing. I mean, homie, you get on everything immediately. You know which meme to use. You know, it's like, oh, my God. But anyway, you put out the thing. Basically, it's LeBron in his Yankees hat. It's him in Cleveland, which, you know, I get that, but it's the Yankees hat. It's Cleveland in the Sprite uniform for the commercial, which, by the way, really great commercial. I remember when that came out. I was like, great. You know, that was a great commercial. So I feel like that's the fun joke that people are going to talk about for this, the whole him switching team allegiances, not in terms of his NBA career, but just apparently baseball. He's a fan of every team in the league. He's kind of like the Drake of only baseball, though. He's kind of the Drake.
Somebody actually replied with a photo of him wearing a Marlins cap too, which was probably during like his Heat days, I guess. Mm-hmm. Also had to wear Chicago Cubs jersey and hat. He lost a bet with Dwayne Wade. Probably, I would presume it was in 2016 when the Cubs and Indians faced off in the World Series because those are their preferred teams. But yeah, LeBron kind of like kind of like Drake. It's really funny. I actually also, he reminded me of my dad for a second, because my dad loves to collect baseball caps. He mm-hmm. will get different baseball caps every time he goes to a different ballpark. Yeah. So he's kind of the same way, but LeBron James, this is so cool, honestly, first of all, because he's bringing his longtime business partner, Maverick Carter. So they're the first Black partners in Fenway Sports Group history, which is really cool because, of course, Boston is not known for its race relations. And LeBron James can play a huge part in making that better. And I think that that's really great. And also because Fenway Sports Group has a really long wish list of other franchises and endeavors that they want to acquire. They want an NFL franchise. They want another, they want an NBA franchise. They want a European soccer club, NHL, MLS, WNBA, National Women's Soccer League, sports betting, esports, data analytics. Like they want a lot. It'll be really interesting to see what they do next. They actually have been buying up a lot of property in the Fenway area. And, you know, it's nice to know that even though they don't want to spend money on Mookie Betts, they want to spend money on something.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, like, you know, it's every single time we've chatted, I think we bring up the Betts thing.
Yep.
And honestly, rightfully so. I mean, yeah, like, how can you not? I mean, it's the equivalent would be if you know, my beloved El Nino was traded, God forbid. You know, I'm just going to knock on every piece of wood I have to, you know, not put any of those, procure any bad vibes. But yeah, like, I get it. And with the LeBron thing, it's, yeah, you're right. Like, he does. I mean, the guy is also just a business dude, clearly. I mean, he's been trending that way. Whew. I mean, probably ever since he went to Miami is when you started to see, that was like the inception, the beginning of his real media savvy kind of persona, and with everything that he did, even things like the Blaze Pizza restaurant thing that he set up and that he's part of, and has one of the greater videos ever, which is him like offering pizza to somebody and they're like, get out of my way, they don't know who he is. I'm like, what? That person, which looks so silly, right? Could you imagine, like, if you didn't know who some giant celebrity is, and then they're in some you're in some montage video of theirs? Like, that's just, what a great ignorance is bliss kind of moment for that person. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun random story. I'm pro LeBron.
I will say though, that's actually funny. There's a Blaze Pizza right down the block from Fenway Park. So that's perfect for him. Yeah. He can just go there for lunch if he's in town. I'm going to throw some numbers at you because this is so crazy. I say this, you know, if you and I talk about Mookie Betts every time we record together, I've probably said this about 200 times in the year plus that I've been hosting this podcast. Fenway Sports Group is the now fourth richest ownership group in pro sports. Apparently, they're ahead of the Yankees by 0.2 billion because they're 6.6 billion. The Yankees are 6.4 billion, or Steinbrenner and company. They're right behind Jerry Jones, 6.98 billion. Kroenke Sports is 8.73 billion, and they own the Rams, Arsenal, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and Liberty Media is 13 billion. And they own Formula One, Atlanta Braves, and the Drone Racing League. But I will say I'm interested in where Steve Cohen falls into that, because he personally has a personal fortune of something like $14 billion, I believe. I'm not sure where he falls into those rankings, but the Red Sox ownership is very wealthy, and I hope that with LeBron having a somewhat significant role as a part owner now, maybe he will make some changes for the better. I think that'd be really cool. I'm hopeful that at the very least, he brings back the Fenway Veggie Burger. That's my biggest complaint, besides Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Brock Holt over the last few years. My biggest complaint is that Fenway used to have a veggie burger that was really good. And after the 2017 season, it just disappeared. And I have walked all over that ballpark looking for a veggie burger. And the only veggie burger is in the super fancy luxury seats right at the front behind home plate. And if you are not in those seats, you can't have a veggie burger. So LeBron James, you're probably not listening to my podcast, but if you are, please bring back veggie burgers. I am hungry all the time.
Look at you eating all healthy. Unbelievable.
I haven't eaten burger. I haven't eaten meat since I was 8 years old, and I'm not going to start just because Fenway Park is trying to starve me into eating a ballpark Frank. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
100% fair, but I would think you'd be like, oh, bring back some dessert, some specific dessert thing. You know what I mean? No, you go for the, because Gabrielle, you know, classic Gabrielle fashion. It's the veggie. No, in all seriousness, though, the veggie burger. I forgot. I had one recently at an actual restaurant. I unfortunately really liked it. I wanted to be one of those guys who's just like, all you weaklings, try and go. But it was actually really delicious. My appetite is, I have a simple taste palate. I'm a man of simple tastes, honestly. And just to piggyback really quickly off your point, I wonder, is this like the most fun, not even most fun, is this just the coolest, best thing that's happened in terms of Red Sox ownership related things in the last year? Because I feel like it's just been all kind of sad things, at least according to what I see on your Twitter feed and such.
I mean, the Red Sox ownership group went from being super committed to this team in terms of refurbishing the ballpark and spending big on players to kind of just going cold turkey on like all of it. They went from giving David Price the most lucrative pitching contract in MLB history at the time to trading Mookie Betts, who today said in his GQ feature that came out, he thought he'd be a Red Sox for life, and that they'd been looking at he and his fiance had been looking at new houses before the trade, which sucked to read yet again. But I mean, LeBron is just so much cooler than the rest of the Fenway Sports Group owners. I mean, it's literally like having, I mean, he's a superstar basketball player. So you literally have like a bunch of nerds like John Henry, and then you have LeBron James. Like that's your ownership group. It's kind of like that old movie, Can't Buy Me Love, where the guy bribes the popular girl to be his girl, to pretend to be his girlfriend so he can seem cool. And that's kind of what this is like. LeBron James is the popular guy who now gets to be part owner of a major league, one of the biggest market major league teams. And I'm sure it'll be a mutually beneficial relationship, but the Red Sox ownership group just got like 800% cooler, in my opinion.
But yeah, I hope you would enjoy the fun there, because I know it's probably not going to be necessarily great. I mean, you talk about this plenty on your podcast, so let's not get too into this. I know you want to make sure.
No, I don't want to do it.
Hopefully, you know, this is a nice little, it pretends of good things to come for them on the playing field, I guess you could say.
I mean, he's definitely not the kind of like silent partner owner who will, you know, just kind of sit back and take his money and not have anything to say. Like he bought into these teams for a reason. He's not just here to make money. Like he's here to make changes. We see that with all of his philanthropic endeavors, the school that he opened in Akron, like the kids he sends to college with his various different charities and such. He does so much for the world already. I'm honestly not like a huge fan of him as a basketball player. Like I've always kind of been like, oh, well, he's like, he's so great. It's like almost annoying. I like guys like Kemba Walker. I like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like I'm all over the place with my basketball fandom. He's obviously an amazing basketball player. He's just never been one of my favorite basketball players, if that makes sense.
I got you.
Before we talk fantasy, I want to talk about Rock Auto for a second, because there are so many makes and models of cars on the market nowadays that it is impossible to stock all the parts that you will need for your car or truck in a traditional chain storefront. And when you go into one of those stores, you're going to endure these pointless, intimidating questions from someone who probably knows a lot more than you do about cars and trucks. And then you're going to find out they don't even have the part in stock. They're going to go online. They're going to choose the part that their warehouse carries from the brand that they're a partner with, and they're going to charge you more money for it. This is like the dirtiest secret of the auto shop industry. You're going to get charged 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership than you would get charged if you went to rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So you're basically just getting cheated out of money, but you can go to rockauto.com from the safety and comfort of your own home. Check out a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Get the lowest price available for anything you need. And it's just the easiest checkout process in the world. They've got everything from brake parts and tail lamps to motor oil and new carpet. So when you go to rockauto.com, and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about this box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Betting on the Red Sox and Padres doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to our new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk about fantasy. I almost said fantasy football. Let's talk about fantasy baseball. You organized a league, and I just have to put out there before we start getting into this that the way that you asked me to be a part of this fantasy league was so terrifying. You texted me on February 16th at 5:47 p.m. and you said, texting you because this is the most important thing I've ever asked. Are you ready? And I replied, oh God, maybe? Question mark. And your response was, fantasy baseball, are you in? And I was like, I mean, duh. And then I wrote in all caps, you scared me. I literally thought that somebody had died.
I mean, it's what I do. I had to organize before I like sent out the official invite. I decided to go to my closest confidants on the Locked On Network, who I message way too regularly for a variety of reasons. And
no, but you know, why'd you have to do it like that, dude? Just be like, hey, are you interested in fantasy baseball? Not like, let's just play on Gabrielle's anxieties that someone's going to die every single day.
Look, I tend to joke around sometimes, okay? And I have to admit, maybe it was a selfish thing, but I was like, I know this is going to be funny for me.
It was. For you. The operative term there being for you.
Firstly, though, I think before we kind of like get into the draft, let me just quickly confirm like some of the whatever it's called, the peripherals, I guess you could say. Just it's 16 teams that we had in this thing. So the league is super deep. All Locked On people, of course. It is a Locked On fantasy league after all. We had myself, we had Gabrielle, we had Jason Burke of Locked On A's, Lucas Smith of Locked On Cardinals, Dylan Short of Locked On Braves, Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates, Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles, Ryland Stiles of Locked On Royals, Brett Chansey, one of the hosts of Locked On Astros, AJ Andrews, host of Locked On Blue Jays, Ryan Finkelstein, host of Locked On Mets, Nash Walker, Locked On Twins, Sean Woody, Locked On Raptors. He just snuck into the draft at the last second because somebody else couldn't make it. Ben Caspick of Locked On Giants, Ryan Latica of Locked On Rockies, and Scott Cullen, who does Locked On Fantasy Baseball, which one of the funnier mini things quickly to just say, I at first, because we had to kick out somebody because they couldn't make the draft. Kick out's a hard word, harsh word. Replace somebody that couldn't banished make the draft.
Forever.
Yeah, we banished them to the Shadow Realm. I was like, oh yeah, hopefully we could find somebody. Then Ben Caspick messages and he's just like, maybe you should ask Scott Cullen, the Locked On Fantasy Baseball host.
I feel like the reason we didn't ask him in the first place, though, was because he literally is a fantasy baseball expert. So every time it was his turn in the draft, we were just like, well, he definitely knows something we don't, especially towards like the later rounds when it was like a lot of the big names were gone and everyone was just kind of like picking names out of their butts.
That was one of the funny little conversations. We also had a big Zoom for everybody to hop on. It was really funny. I don't know about you, but like, what were some of your favorite kind of moments throughout the draft, I guess? Because I had a couple favorites, and then we'll talk into what respective players we each got on our teams.
Yeah. So, you know, that was really fun for me. The only thing was that our dog kept trying to eat my headphones. So it was hard for me to kind of focus on the draft. I will say that all of us kind of sniping players that we wanted was both heartbreaking and fun. Like, you know, Ethan really wanted Ke'Bryan Hayes because he has been on the Ke'Bryan Hayes Rookie of the Year train for the Pirates all year long, pretty much. And he didn't get Ke'Bryan Hayes. I really wanted Mike Yastrzemski because it is my firm belief that in some way, shape or form, Yastrzemski's belong in Boston. Didn't get Yastrzemski. But my favorite part, honestly, because I'm a pun nerd, is that I loved some of the names that we gave our teams. And I'm going to just read my favorites. You are Reese Witherspoon, but spelled like Reese Hoskins. And I love that because I love Legally Blonde so much. Jason Burke's team is Sir, This Is an Albies instead of Sir, This Is an Arby's. Somehow both Ethan and Brett Chansey are LeBron is my poppy?
So
did they give their teams the same name?
So, all right, to reveal the early part of the podcast, what I was saying, some people in our chat were hating on LeBron. Earlier today, for you, when this podcast comes out, both Brett Chansey and Ethan Smith especially were espousing a little bit of LeBron slander. I would say Brett did some LeBron not my favorite thing type of talk, while Ethan straight up from the top rafters was just spewing slander. So I went in and changed their names to LeBron is my poppy. So
like a punishment or something. Okay, that's amazing.
You know, I went in there and changed it. And I don't think they've noticed just yet. So I'm really excited for when one of them texts the chat like, what the heck? What the heck just happened? Before they were locked on Hayes for Ethan. And I think Brett was something Texas Walker. I forgot.
Walker, Texas, not Rangers. Yeah. Because of that old TV show. So right. I am in play puns instead of in play runs. But yeah, so that's our league. First of all, who was your first round pick? Who was your favorite get? And who do you have from the Red Sox?
That's why you're the best of the business right here. So my first pick, I had the sixth pick of the draft, and here we go again. God dang it. I took Garrett Cole with the sixth pick in the draft. And one last thing when it comes to peripherals, because I think this should be mentioned up. We had 16 teams in our league. So me and Ben, actually, we commiserated before we had the draft and we decided to limit the rosters a little bit. So things like usually you have 5 outfielders and a couple more bench spots and a couple more pitchers. We limited that because we didn't want to be drafting into like the 460 range and drafting guys that only had like 100 at bats per year. So that's just one thing to add, just for context, I guess, for people listening. So I took Garrett Cole. So all the people listening who are hating on my Yankees thing, took him. Look, one of my philosophies for fantasy is I like to not just draft people I like and people who would be good, obviously. I also like to draft people who I know will be on the TV oftentimes that I'm watching. And I live in a Yankees household officially with my mom. So I'm like, all right, if the games are going to be on, I would rather have one of the guys from that team. So it makes it a little bit more interesting for me personally. So I took Garrett Cole. And then in terms of my favorite pick, I think my favorite pick was Rhys Hoskins, just to go. Just one, because it gave me my team name. And two, because we play in an on-base percentage league, meaning the category that we use is not the batting average of a player, but on-base. And Rhys Hoskins, yeah, he bats like .240 every year, but his on-base percentage is one of the better ones among a lot of the first basemen. So I actually think that that's one of the better gets that I had in the draft. And what was the last question? Any Red Sox players? Mm-hmm. I got, and I'll tell about my Padres players in a second because I got plenty. I got JD Martinez, which I didn't feel great about. I said it right after I made the pick. I was just like, what's wrong with me? I would have rather had Chris Bryant. I don't know why I went to the dark side.
Yeah, I was really confused by your pick.
I think what happened was I got nostalgic. And I got nostalgic for when I had JD Martinez for like 3 years straight, going back to his Detroit days. And then when he gets traded to the Diamondbacks, and not his Red Sox year, I don't believe. No, I didn't have him the Red Sox year, but I had him basically when he was on the come up. And just all, why do you keep drafting JD? Like, why do you think he's not going to be good? He just had a random great first season. I'm like, nah, bro, all of it's legit. So he helped me win it. I was nostalgic about it. So I fell for it, I guess. I fell for the JD Martinez thing. Hopefully he's still good and just, you know, maybe he can't run the base paths well. Maybe he won't hit for a super high average and take enough walks and will strike out a lot, but maybe if he just hits me like 30 home runs, that'll be cool. And then in terms of Padres on my team, I got Trent Grisham. I got Will Myers, the baseball guy, Jerickson Profar, and Austin Nola, who is injured, as I've talked about on my podcast. So that is going to be an interesting thing, how I deal with the catching things. But what about you, Gabriel? What is it? What was the pick you got in the first round? What was your favorite pick you made? And then what was the other question? And then what Padres or Red Sox players did you get?
Well, before I answer you, I am going to just give a shout out to betonline.ag because they are the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is mercifully over. I'm not a football fan, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. We're getting into March Madness. And if you're not a sports fan, but you're listening to this podcast for some reason, like maybe you're my mom, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget, Wednesday is Division Crossover Day on the Locked On MLB Network. Locked On Red Sox will be doing a crossover with Locked On Yankees. We're going to talk some rivalry. We talk about ballparks that have been featured in films and TV. We talked about a lot of random stuff. It's actually two episodes, Wednesday and Thursday. So tune in Wednesday and Thursday for a special crossover edition of Locked On Red Sox and check out another crossover show in our division to start scouting the competition. All right. So Javi, my roster, which I'm very actually excited about. I don't know about you. But so far, my on-base percentages projections look pretty good. My first pick was Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. I've seen him pitch multiple times back when I lived in LA. He is a very impressive young lad. Ferris mm-hmm. Bueller is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm not going to lie, that was a factor. I was pick 13. So I also didn't have a ton of starting pitching superstar options left, but he's super young. He's already incredibly impressive. And he was the first guy that I took. My favorite pick in the draft had to be Eduardo Rodriguez because none of you saw it coming. Oh, yeah. No one saw it coming. He was ranked very low because he obviously hasn't pitched since the end of September 2019 and he's coming back from viral myocarditis. So people are doubting him. His 2020, I don't know how to see that, but his projections are pretty good for 2021, according to our ESPN fantasy team.
Seventh round.
Yeah, cool. Eduardo Rodriguez, seventh round pick. I adore Eduardo Rodriguez. I have been rooting for him so hard. Everybody in Boston is. And even though I probably could have picked somebody who is more of what you would maybe call a sure thing at this point, Eduardo Rodriguez has been already pretty good during his spring training. I'm pretty sure he hasn't walked a batter yet. I'm just rooting for him, man. Two games, six hits, two earned runs, zero walks, eight strikeouts over 6.2 innings of work. I'm encouraged. I'm happy. He was my favorite pick. Obviously, in terms of Red Sox, I actually have a few. Christian Vasquez is my catcher. Alex Verdugo is one of my outfielders. And I've got Eduardo Rodriguez and Matt Barnes. And anyone who knows me is going to be really surprised that Matt Barnes is on my roster because I am not a huge Matt Barnes fan. He is not very consistent. Like, he's either absolutely lights out or he's walking everybody and giving up a grand slam to blow the save and just ruin the game. And that level of inconsistency just like absolutely drives me nuts. So somebody even replied to my roster tweet being like, I never would have picked you to draft Matt Barnes. But two factors in play here. For starters, there weren't a lot of relievers left at that point in the draft. So I went with someone I know because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And also because he's a UConn man. My boyfriend's a UConn man. And I took the advice of a UConn man. So I'm putting my faith in Matt Barnes. And he better not let me down.
Look, man, I think that you had a really good draft. Especially because you didn't, I mean, you haven't played fantasy baseball. Oh, there you go. Hey, flex a little bit. I like that.
I did. You know what? I should be good. Like, I got to let myself be confident at least once in a while. You know, like once every 6 months, I allow myself like a half hour of confidence and this is it.
Absolutely. I think it's a well-balanced team. I think just with the Walker Buehler thing, just one of my takes on Walker Buehler, I feel like he's reminding me a little bit of Luka Doncic. And what I mean by that very specific, this is a stretch analogy. You know me, Gabrielle.
You all love to make analogies. Those stretch analogies.
I feel like what happened with Doncic this year was people got a little bit too overzealous, a little bit too overexcited about what he was doing last year and immediately said he's the MVP favorite. And then beginning of the season, the Mavericks aren't winning a whole lot. He's not playing so well. Speaking of, Ethan complaining about LeBron, complaining about the referees, you know, Luka Doncic complaining all the time on the court and stuff. So then people kind of got a little bit, they soured on him a little bit. This happened with Anthony Davis 1 year where everyone gets too overexcited about a player. I think that happened with Walker Buehler to an extent where coming off of 2019, I think everyone was like, Cy Young pick this year, the end. And then because he wasn't awesome in 2020, they kind of were like, he's overrated. You know what I mean? It's like, no, actually, he's really good. I just think we're like a year early on it. I think this guy wins a Cy Young at some point. I just don't know when. I just think that people jumped on it. So that's my stretch analogy for the day, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
I mean, you know, I love a hobby analogy. I do. Our Locked On NBA social coordinator, Nick, is not going to love it because he is a diehard Luka defender till the day he dies. Honestly, what I've been doing right now is really looking more at 2018, 2019 numbers for a lot of players. Because 2020 was such a weird year in terms of how much time they missed, the restrictions on how they were able to train and get ready for the season, even things as non-technical as how much time the players were allowed to spend with each other and how close they were allowed to be with each other as people, all of it played a part in making everyone feel distant from each other, from the game, from them, from who they are as athletes, from us as fans. If you can't hang out in the clubhouse with your teammates, you're not going to feel as close to them. And that's probably going to affect your on-field product. If you're not allowed to be with your friends and do things that you love and leave the house, it's going to affect your mental health. And that might affect your playing ability. And then in terms of a guy like JD Martinez, you know, he suffered because A, he was hurt, B, he's getting older, but C, because the video replay was not available in the same way that it's been in previous years. And he's a guy who likes to study every at bat during the game. He likes to see how he's hitting, how he's swinging before his next at bat. Like, he'll come back into the dugout and be like, all right, let's see it. Let me see it. So he can make adjustments in the game. And without that, he said he wasn't able to feel as comfortable with himself as a player. Honestly, I'm not going to judge any player by their 2020 on-field product. If you're Zach Plesac, I'm going to judge you on your off-field product. But as far as I'm concerned, 2020 numbers can go out the window. I don't really care.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair thing. I think there are some people who definitely break that mold. Like, some people would say Tatis would be one where it's just too good. I think the numbers with him, I'm not going to start doing a thing where I have to prove that.
No, of course. I mean, people who did well, it's great. I'm talking in the negative of people being like, well, he was absolute garbage in 2020. It's like, cool. I felt like absolute garbage for a solid 12 months. I'm not going to start, you know, crapping on somebody else for doing the same.
Guys like Christian Yelich, Alex Bregman, guys that just, you know,
Xander Bogarts, Rafael Devers, JD Martinez. I mean, pretty much everyone on the Red Sox almost had a down year. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Gleyber Torres, Yankees.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres. Tons of players missed the season. You know, you've got Chris Sale and Noah Syndergaard coming back, Eduardo Rodriguez coming back. You guys had a bunch of pitchers on the Padres who got hurt, ended it down the stretch. It was just a really hard year for everyone. And I just feel like I'm ready for a new year. And if you had a great year, congratulations. If you didn't have a great season, that's okay too. It's over. It's done. We're in 2021 now. It doesn't matter how you did last year. It matters what you do next.
Agree 100%. And just in terms of the draft, like, I think that that's what's fun about fantasy baseball this year is, like, there's so many guys that might be higher than they should be, because I get, like, you know, people who are doing rankings, you kind of have to go to a degree off of last year's stats. Like, you kind of have no choice to a degree, but, you know, there are some guys that you should still rank higher, at least in my opinion. And then just in terms of the rest of the draft, I was listening to Scott Cullen, which everybody should go listen to Locked On Fantasy Baseball, obviously. And he recorded his, like, live reaction stream of consciousness during the draft. And I liked his little comments when I think he made one. He's like, oh, Eduardo Rodriguez just went. That's probably a little bit early that I would have taken him, but you know what they say, you got to take who you think is going to be good at stuff. Like, little comments like that, that I really loved. And that being one of my favorite things, I think Scott, by the way, just has the most balanced team. Shocker that he has the most balanced team out of all of us idiots in the league.
So, all right, before we wrap up, I just want to say, I love, like, how we're kind of just a little family and we actually do things together on the regular. And it's not just like, oh, you host Locked On Padres, I host Locked On Red Sox. We never talk. Like, in most normal times, why would a Red Sox podcast and a Padres podcast have anything to do with each other? They wouldn't. But because of this whole global panini, as they say on social media, that we've been in for over a year now, You and I have gotten to record together like at least 20 times. Everything from the sports movie bracket to our Mickey Callaway takedown to an episode about sports writing, random crossovers that have nothing to do with anything. You're my mom's favorite guest on this pod or co-host on these pods. And I'm appreciative. I'm grateful. And I'm excited for this league. I don't really know how I'm going to do. And you and I are the first matchup we have is our teams. I don't really know what that's going to be like.
You want to make a friendly wager?
How friendly? Because your invitation to join the league was not friendly. It was terrifying. That's a good point. You're like, want to make a friendly wager? If you lose, you have to jump in a lake that's still frozen.
So let it be clear. I never make money wagers. You should probably guys go check out Locked On Bets for when it comes to some of your more money related things, or betonline.ag, which you talked about earlier when it comes to that stuff. But what I mean by friendly wagers is you got to have fun. I'm not into the, oh, I bet you $100. Ah, who cares? That's the mainstream basic way to make wagers. No. I'm talking silly stuff. I'm talking, you got to put something at the beginning of your podcast talking about how I defeated you, or one of my favorite classic bets, because I beat my friend, one of my best friends famously. I beat him, Gabrielle, in every fantasy sport. We played each other in basketball, football, and baseball. I beat him every single year for like 6 straight years. It was ridiculous. But anyway, that's a whole other story entirely. One of my favorite bets that I would do with him is whoever wins gets to choose the profile picture of the other person on Twitter.
That's what I thought you were going to say, and I'm totally down for it, as long as it's like nothing inappropriate. No. You know,
I'm not going to do anything that I know would be like actually super problematic. I won't make it of someone you hate or anything like that, but I will do something that might just be like a goofy cartoon picture, because I get a kick out of seeing people tweet behind something that isn't them. It just makes me laugh. I made my friend use King Day today one time, which is the dude with the hammer from the Kirby series. I'll come up with one for you because I know I will end up victorious, but yeah, let's do a virtual handshake on the podcast for that. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I am 100% down for that.
It really is fun, right? When you see someone tweeting,
it's one of those things that like doesn't matter at all in the grand scheme of like human existence. And yet for some reason, while it's happening, you take immense pleasure from it. I don't know why.
It's just so funny. And you tweet a lot. I tweet a lot too, to be honest too. So you get maximum value out of it too.
Right. Because everyone's going to see it.
It's just like, it just shows a picture of like a giraffe thing or whatever. By the way, really quickly, you don't have to include this part, but I laughed way too loud at your giraffial Devers thing. What did you post?
Oh, yes. So if people on the podcast don't know, I love puns and wordplay. And our puppy, we got her a bunch of toys and one of them was a giraffe. So I named it Giraffial Devers. And now being a tiny teething puppy who has fangs like a vampire, she has ripped a couple of her toys this week, including her giraffe and her donut. So I post a picture to Twitter being like, sad news to report, Giraffial Devers to the IL with an abdominal strain because she ripped his belly and you could see the fuzz coming out. So yes, Giraffial Devers, very sad to report. Anyway, this has been Locked On Padres and Locked On Red Sox. It's always
a lot more
fun.
Lighthearted than our last talk, which
I
is
know.
Talk, so.
But I will say, if you haven't listened to our last talk, we did a roundtable with Stacey, host of Locked On Yankees, and it was about Mickey Callaway and sexual harassment in sports and being a woman in sports. And Javi very wonderfully had reached out. You actually reached out to me about it before.
I did.
Not before this, it was in between the Jared Porter and Mickey Callaway news initially breaking, but before the second wave of Mickey Callaway news broke. And so when you said that you wanted to have a conversation with women on the network, and I thought it was wonderful, but we didn't end up doing it until I woke up that morning to the news of Callaway. And I was so incensed that I messaged the group DM and was like, does anyone have time to just like get on with me right now? And we can just rant about how terrible this is. And you and Stace did, and we had a wonderful time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was necessary, I think, in a lot of ways to have that talk. And I'm glad that we had it. It was really good.
It was absolutely wonderful. So this has been Locked On Padres and Locked On Red Sox for the millionth time since March 2020. And we are so grateful that you tune in. As always, you can subscribe to both of our podcasts wherever you get podcasts so you never miss an episode. Division Day is tomorrow, Wednesday, so make sure not to miss that. I've got a rivalry crossover with Locked On Yankees, but since we actually recorded together three times in the last month, it has literally nothing to do with our teams, and it's just talking about 80 million different random topics, and we had a great time with it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Wear your mask, and as always, go Red Sox and go Padres.
Yeet.
Yeet.